All right.
Turn in your Bibles. Let's begin in verse 16. For it is written in the King James, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful word from Peter. Let me get to this other one here. Sunday we were talking about the Word and how the Word is full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And we talked about pregnancy and the stage, the gestation period, the period of development and all. But it all started from a word. In the New Testament, where, let's see, who was it? I believe it's John. Where John talks about the seed. And I can't recall the exact verse and how it goes. But the Greek word for that word seed is sperma. And we know what that word is connected and associated with. It's connected and associated with the seed that's in man. And as surely as it takes a man and a woman to come together and create life, it takes the seed of the man and it takes the egg of the woman and then the womb within the woman in order for a child to be born. But when you trace it, it comes back to a word. It may seem foreign, it may seem a little strange, but if you stay with me, I think you'll really grab hold of this, because what Peter says here, we have not been born of incorruptible seed. The first time we got born, yeah, the seed was corrupt. The seed wasn't corrupt just because of your daddy or my daddy or, you know, anybody else's daddy. The seed was corrupt because of Adam, the father of all. When Adam fell, all creation suffered as a result of it. And from that fall, his seed, his sperma, if you will, was corrupt. Corrupt due to the blood, corrupt due to the sin. And so by nature, through the natural birth, we are birth sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about even not having committed the same similitude or the similitude of sin such as Adam did, nevertheless, that sinful nature is there. We naturally rebel against authority. We naturally disobey. We naturally have to teach our children to obey and not naturally have to teach them to disobey. Children by nature, and whether it's exploring or what have you, whether you look at it as innocent or what have you, children by nature, we have to teach them how to do what is right. They by nature will do wrong. They by nature will touch stuff they shouldn't touch. They by nature will do things that they shouldn't do. It's from that Adamic seed, that Adamic nature, that corruptible seed. But when we receive Jesus, we get born again, and this is not of any corrupt seed, but an incorruptible seed. An incorruptible seed, not only in the sense that it is holy and pure, but it is impossible to contaminate. This is why John says, he that is born of God cannot sin because his seed, that's how the verse goes, because his seed is in him. And that seed is an incorruptible seed. Well, why do people sin after they receive Jesus? Because they don't follow after Jesus. They come to him, but then they still go, or I can include everybody in this room, still go in our own way, not to exclude anyone. But, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all after receiving Christ probably messed up or did something wrong that should not have been done. It wasn't because we were following Christ. It was because we started following our own ways. But the seed that is in us is an incorruptible seed. And when we follow Jesus, the seed bears its fruit. If we don't follow Jesus, then we give over to that old nature, and old habits and patterns and ways start to spring up. And before you know it, we're bound again by these old habits and ways. But it cannot contaminate the seed, because the seed is incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it is as simple as, Lord, forgive me, and come running after him. And our God is a merciful God. He loves mercy. He loves mercy. He desires mercy more than sacrifice. If God had the choice of receiving your praise and being merciful to you in your sin, he chose to be merciful to you in your sin that you might receive that mercy and then be set free from it. Because the end of the sinful life is a holy life, a life that pleases the Father. And the only way you can get there is by his mercy. Because by nature, the natural man, we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the natural. Now, who we are in Christ Jesus, we're not sinners. That's a hard one for people to swallow. That's false doctrine. No, if we're following Jesus, Jesus is not leading us into a lifestyle of sin. He's leading us into a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness. He's leading us into green pastures and beside still waters. He's leading us into restoring our soul. He's leading us, though trials and tests may come, still the Lord will be leading us. He'll be comforting us. He will heal us, mend us. He will do everything to keep us going with him. He'll be loving us. It's the type of God he is. So Peter says this, he says, we have been born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That word even supersedes the law that God implemented through Moses. The word that God gives, as the writer in Hebrews says, is alive and full of power. The law, because the law, because the law, because the law, because the law cannot give life. It is rules. It is guidelines. It has no mercy. It's good in the sense because God gave it, but it's bad in the sense that it cannot forgive. It can only condemn. It can only make us feel guilty and leave us in that guilty state. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The strength of the law is sin. And then sin leads to death. But Jesus came that we might have life. So what he comes with must be greater than the law itself. Am I making any sense to you? I hope you don't think that I'm... Well, you can think it anyways. It's okay. It's okay. So Peter says this, we've been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word. So God has sent the word. We know Jesus to be the word incarnate. And it's this word that shapes and molds and fashions our lives. It's this word that causes us to be set free. Listen to this. No matter how long or how short the period development is, the process between conception and birth, no matter how long or short the period, development is the process between conception and birth. When the Father says, I'm watching over my word to perform it, it's an already targeted word that is released to its destination and now awaits the development and timing for bringing it forth. Whether it's 2 weeks, 2 years, 25 years, or 4,000-year prophecy from Adam to Jesus. The Father watches, he's alert, he's attentive, and acting on his word. Isaiah says it like this, it, his word, shall not return to me void. Void of what? Void of accomplishment, fulfillment, and prosperity. Psalms 12:6 says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. When God sends his word, it is always, always for our good. Even when it hurts, it corrects and it heals. He's a good, good daddy. And let the church say amen. That his word, or may his word, be incubated within your vessel to which it is sent. Nurtured by faith and patience, it is formed in the heart or spirit of man and birthed at the appointed time. Your life undergoes change or revolution and transformation and becomes the fulfillment of a word given from the Father to complete his will in the earth. You are part of a Jesus generation whose life does not return to him void without producing any effect or useless, but accomplishes what he pleases and prospers in the thing or place where he sends it. It is the divine activity of the word of God inside of you, making things happen by the Holy Ghost. Your new life in Christ is the result of the word, God's seed in you being fulfilled. When you were born, you were given a word, male or female, and a name, giving you identity. Unbeknownst to you at that time, you were dead in trespasses and sins and in need of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The word incarnate or made flesh. When the appointed time came, you heard the word of God and believed and were born again as a result. We have been born not of corruptible seed, human, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And now with that in mind, our lives now that we live, it's not just based on personal interest, put it like that. But now it's based on an instruction. Now it's based on the Word. Now it's based on the will of God being spoken to us that gives us direction, that gives us instruction, that gives us counsel, that gives us vision and purpose for why we are here. We can do our own thing if we want to. But the end result of that is this. We have to stand before God and give him an account. In other words, if we live our lives to ourselves, when we stand before him, we're not going to have anything to show for it. But if we live our lives according to his will, and everything that we've done in and for his name, it's not only going to get us into heaven. We don't get there by our works, but we do get there by faith. But the faith that we have is faith and belief in the oracles of God as it pertains to our life. Does that make sense? And so it's this word that now, if God's word framed the worlds, the ages of time, how much more so now does his word shape and frame our lives for his glory? It's like, why are we even here? You're here because of a word. You came around one time, whether it was somebody that invited you and they invited you out of a conversation. But you came here and you heard something that caught you. And it has not let you go. And you might be seeking even more, and you ought to. But let it come from God and not from man, and definitely not from flesh. His word still shapes and God, I hope you're getting this. It still shapes and gives direction to us on a daily basis. Let me give you some more scriptures. Hallelujah. He goes on and says in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. Let's interchange these words. For all man or mankind and his life is like grass. Grass grows up, produces flowers or greenery, and then it withers away. It displays its beauty only for a season and a moment, and then it's gone. That's it. That's the end. It's only good for throwing in the oven, throwing in the trash, or making some, what do they call it, compost out of it to fertilize some new grass that comes. All glory of man is as the flower of grass. So what do we do with grass? Okay. But what happens when the grass dies? What do we do with it? We do what? And throw it away. Whether we burn it, whether we throw it in the trash, or we can even make mulch out of it and make, you know, what I said earlier, compost, if you will. But its life ends, and that's it. And that's how our lives are absent God's word. It's like you're on the scene for 70. You're on the scene for 80 years. You're on the scene for 10 years. You're on the scene for a short period. And then that's a life based on self-interest That's a life that does its own thing. But a life that is impacted by the word of God, listen here. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Because your life is precious in the eyesight of God. And he doesn't want it to end in just this short span of years. It goes by quick. It's like vapor. I can remember in my younger years, and to me it wasn't that long ago, but how fast those years go. But if it was not for God's word entering into my life, I probably wouldn't even be here at this point now. That's just me. You might have your own testimony. But the change came when the word of God came, and then I started living based on what God's instructions were as opposed to what I was doing my own way according to my own thinking. God's word makes the difference. Hallelujah. God's word extends the life. This is why you don't get bent out of shape when someone dies. Not if they died in the Lord. If they didn't die in the Lord, then we have every reason. And I say this with not trying to be insensitive to anybody that's went through it, but, you know, if you go through your mother and father's death at 7 months apart, that's a pretty rough one to go through. But I said, with no disrespect, but if we know that this person has died in the Lord, we're going to spend eternity with them. It may hurt, but the pain is because of the preciousness of life itself. But if you know you're going to spend eternity with this individual, what's another short 70 years? Some of us don't even speak to some relatives that we grew up with in 10, 20, 15, 30 years. So that short period of time of what we call separation, it's just a short period of time. We're going to be reunited. And we're going to be reunited forever. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the word of God. It lives and abides forever. There is no stopping. There is no cessation. There is no ending. Jesus wants to bring us into eternity. And everything that he does within our lives leads just to that. What we do ourselves is the flesh and the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. That's the end of it. That's not the kind of life we want to live. We're sons and daughters. I was sharing with QLM Monday night. We're not sinners. We repent of our sins, and we forsake the sinful lifestyle and start pursuing Jesus. We don't focus on being sinners. We focus on being sons and daughters. We focus on living by the word of God that has life. Hallelujah. You don't need nobody to come giving you no positive confession stuff. You don't need no self-help books. You need none of that. His word lives and abides forever. It has life. And the seed of God's word has the power, not just the potential, but the power to accomplish what's on the inside of it, to bring it to fulfillment. So anytime and every time God gives you a word, you can say, yes, Lord. It's as good as done. Why? His word lives and abides forever. It cannot return to him void. His word cannot come back to him and say, I'm sorry. The vessel you sent me to just couldn't do anything, just couldn't do anything, just couldn't do anything with it. No. word has power. That's where that faith and patience comes in, to nurture it. Now you add to that some praise. You add to that some worship. You add to that some confidence, some trust. And you watch God work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can tell the doctors goodbye. You can tell that psychiatrist goodbye. That therapist goodbye. You can tell your friends goodbye. Because they already left you. They left you because you were so bad in a word, in such a shape. No. Let people see the goodness and the glory of God. Let them taste and see how good God is. How can they taste it? They can taste it by watching your life be transformed, taken from glory to glory and faith to faith and strength to strength. They can watch it. But see, if we stop following Jesus, even for a moment, if we just have a moment and we stop following Jesus, our lives are going to be a reflection of the life that he drew us out of. Well, Jesus is a crutch. No, don't insult Jesus. He's not a crutch, he's a rock. Hallelujah. He's a rock that I build my life upon. So if we're going to say it right. Hallelujah. Amen. He's my everything. And that's just trying to get through, you know, limping and stuff. No, he's the rock upon which I build my life. And you know what? All who put their trust in Jesus will not be put to shame. You've been believing God for a long time and he hasn't come through. It was 4,000 years that went by between the time that Jesus spoke to Satan and said, the seed of the woman, he's going to crush your head and you're going to bruise his heel. It took 4,000 years for that word to come to pass. But did it come to pass? Hallelujah. And did Jesus fulfill the work of the Father? Did he do everything that the Father wanted him to do? He said, I came here not to do my own will, but the will of the one that sent me. And did he fulfill it? Yes, he did. Hallelujah. And 2,000 years later, here we are, honoring King Jesus. Glory to God, because he came, he died, and he rose again. When we have communion, we speak, we let it be known that, no, Jesus is alive. We're doing this to commemorate that he is our Passover lamb. We do this to commemorate. He told us to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup. And he said every time we do it, to do it in his remembrance. So we speak that he's alive. So we must live like he's alive. Because our actions must match up to our words. Hallelujah. We can't live short of what we're saying. If we do, we do ourselves a disservice. But your life is a result of the word. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I don't know how it was the day you got born again, except for those who may have got born again in and through this ministry. But I know how it was for me. It was a happy day. Hallelujah. It was a happy day, and I cried in front of the people. And as I was crying, I knew that they were looking at me and saying, oh, he must have been out there partying and drinking, and he feels bad and all of that. And they were right. I was out partying and drinking the night before, but I wasn't crying because I was partying and drinking and feeling guilty. I was crying because I felt like I was reunited with my Father. I felt like I was reestablished and reconnected with him. So I was crying. Those were tears of joy. They were not tears of sorrow. I was happy. Hallelujah. I don't know how it was when you got born again, but it was a happy day for me. And that's the way it ought to be with each and every one of us. Because it was that day that I came through the womb of the church. Why? Because the seed of the word, the message that was preached, the sperma came from the preacher's mouth and got mixed with faith in my heart because that word itself produced the atmosphere and ability for me to believe that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It produced that faith, and I responded because faith is an act. First time I did it because my brother told me what to say. I didn't fully understand. But the second time, I knew exactly what I was doing, and I was downright ready. I was ready. That's how it ought to be with all of us. So that word comes, and you know, it's spoken in the house of faith, in the church. You can have it on the streets or wherever, but that word comes, and every time you're witnessing to someone, you're sowing seeds. Jesus talked about it when he talked about the parable of the seed sower. You're sowing seeds, and that seed has the potential and the ability to produce life. And when a person receives that word, they get born again, not of a corruptible seed now. That new nature has been dealt with. I shouldn't say that new nature. The old nature has been dealt with. It's gotten the boot. A new nature springs forth. And that new nature is of God. How do you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Old things die. Old things cease to exist. Why? Because the new nature of Christ is on the inside of you. That's a new creation. You get born again. You become spiritually alive to God. And now your spirit is hungry for something. And if you don't feed it what it's hungry for, the old nature will rise up. And then we find ourselves living a defeated life in Christ when it was never, ever meant that way. If we allow the seed, the word of God, to have its way and run its course, he will give us daily victories over everything that was a stronghold, everything that was a setback, over everything that was a hindrance and a snare, over everything that ruled in our lives, that old nature, those old habits and those old ways. See, the only reason they can dominate is because we're not following Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, if anyone wants to come after me, three things: deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's it. So he don't just say it with like, I know you could do it. He's like, no, I'm going to give you the power to do it. I'm going to give you the ability to do it. I'm giving you my word, but I'm also giving you my nature, my spirit, to abide within you and give you the ability to come against the old nature and follow me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Nobody has any reason or excuse to be angry or upset, to be burdened down, to be all messed up mentally, emotionally. We have no reason. Not when Jesus is here. Hallelujah. No. Follow Christ. Stand to your feet. I'll leave it at that. Follow Christ. Follow him. What do you mean? Well, think about the woman with the issue of blood. Think about what she did, how she got on her knees and crawled through the crowd, pressed through to get to the Savior. And when she touched Jesus, because she already said in her heart what would happen, say that, whether you're male or female, you got something bothering you, you got something perplexing, you got some problems that you need to get rid of. If I just may touch the hem of his garment, if I may just get in his presence, if I may just follow him, He will make me whole. Hallelujah. Glory. He's a lion who roars on the inside. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. I love you and I love your sons and daughters. I love your people. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that, you know, God's doing some awesome things in our midst. Every time we come together and even when we're apart. And the connections that he's establishing and the way he's lining things up. Sunday is awesome, Wednesday is awesome, but Monday has become a night for God to really move and speak to both his men and women in this house. And it is making a tremendous impact and difference, and it's getting ready to go higher. I mean, he is just doing things to just like, there's a word, accelerate, yes. Some of you might know this word. It's like you have a fire, but then you put something else on it to cause the fire to blaze. No, it's another word. It's not ignite, it's another word. Maybe is it an accelerant? Is it accelerant? That's what it is? Thank you. Accelerant. I accelerate, but I didn't think that was. So it's you put an accelerant on it, and that's what Papa's doing right now. He's putting an accelerant on things in this house. His glory. And all we got to do is just receive what he's doing. Receive it and then walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory. No more down days. Just go ahead and tell yourself, if the Father's not down, I ain't down. No more down days. No more. You press through. You're greater than that. You're bigger than that. Hallelujah. So, Daddy, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. I bless the sons and daughters of this house. I thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being able to serve here as an under-shepherd under the great shepherd Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord God. Thank you for where you're taking us to. And I pray that the word of the living God just lives and abides forever in us as you have purposed it to. We came in because of a word. We got born again because of a word. And now we live because of your word, Lord God. We have complete faith and trust in you. So, Lord, I just agree with your sons and daughters right now tonight. That whatever need they have, you're going to meet it. And you're going to exceed it. In the name of Jesus. And for the glory of God. So right now, you just, whatever it is or whatever it may be, you tell the Father. There's agreement in this room. There's agreement in this house. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So right now, Father, while your sons and daughters are talking to you, I stand in agreement. Your will is going to be done. I stand in agreement. Every need is met. We stand in agreement, Lord God, that no one in this house will suffer any lack. No one in this house will suffer any lack. That the back of poverty is broken. That there is supernatural provision. That there is favor. Favor with you. Favor with man. Financial favor. That the power of the blessing resides on this house and is for each and every one of your sons and daughters in this place to partake of. That our hands are blessed, and whatever we set our hands to do, it prospers. That the authorities of this present darkness cannot stop us. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. And that, Father, we will possess the gates of our enemies. That we put our foot on the throat of our adversary to let him know he's defeated. We cut off the head of every weakness. We give no place to the devil. We give no place to the flesh. We give no place to rebellion. We give no place to disobedience. We give no place to wickedness. When you go home tonight, read Psalms 101. And then don't stop there. But go on over to Psalms 103. And then have yourself a happy good night's sleep. And when you rise up in the morning, you'll rise up strengthened, refreshed. You'll rise up with joy in your heart. You'll rise up with the praise on your lips. And you will bless the Lord. And he will bless your day. No more setbacks, no more defeats. Only victory. Victory, victory, victory. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agrees said amen. 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 And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Be blessed. Have a wonderful evening. We love you. We love you so much. Amen.